Thank you to Andrew for leading us in our prayers and to Josh for bringing us our main reading for this morning. Shall we come to our God in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your living word. We thank you, Lord, for the whole of your word and the stories that it tells us. The most wonderful story of your amazing love for us. But also the stories of your people, the people who live by faith. And Lord, we come before you this day. And Lord, our heart's desire is that we too would be people who would live by faith. And Lord, we pray that you'd equip us now as we reflect upon your word through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. So we ask it in the name of Jesus, the one we would follow. Amen. I wonder if you're familiar with these expressions. I'm sure many of you are. And it's a way of referring to kind of either different people or how people can be at different times. Of some people, it's said of them, isn't it, that, oh, they're easy to please. It's not difficult to please them. They'll be happy with whatever you do. But with others, oh, they're really hard to please. Nothing really is ever quite good enough for them, and even when they're happy, they kind of hide it really, really well. It generates, doesn't it, just very briefly in those phrases, it conjures up for us different people in our minds. It conjures up for us, I guess, for some of us, people in our lives, either now or in the past. Maybe, actually, it conjures up images of ourselves and how we are, or how we might be perceived by others. Hard to please, easy to please. I wonder if I was to change the question slightly and get you to kind of think about God. And then think about God in terms of your view of God. Is Father God hard to please or easy to please? Or, if we're honest, sometimes a mixture of the two in our minds, in our understanding, in our kind of approach to God. We're going to return to that a little bit later. But for now, I want us to move on to looking at our next person that we're looking at the moment in our series, kind of picking up some of those characters that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And today we're going to look at the person of Enoch. And Enoch is described as a person who lived by faith. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've kind of considered this question, haven't we? And looked at the idea of living by faith. And we've kind of used three headings, three lenses, if you like, to look at this question. We've considered, haven't we, the evidence. We've thought about the actions, and we've reflected upon the outcome. But it's fair to say that actually it's not so easy to do that with Enoch. We don't have a great deal of information about him. We mainly draw it from little references elsewhere, but mainly from Hebrews 11 and these couple of verses, and Genesis chapter 5 that we've just heard Josh read from. We know, don't we, a little bit about his family tree. We know who his father was. We know who his son was. We know he had other family members. We know, don't we, that he lived a long time. 365 years. But what else do we know about this man who's described as someone who lived by faith? Firstly, we know, don't we, that Enoch pleased God. Enoch pleased God. And again, when we get to this statement, we are lacking in information. There's not lots of long lists or details about how Enoch pleased God. When I hear that phrase, I'm drawn to the words of God the Father speaking about Jesus. I am drawn particularly to those references at Jesus' baptism that we find really early on in Matthew, Mark and Luke. And we reflect upon the truth that God said, didn't he, at that point? The scripture says this, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And we note, don't we, very carefully, that actually, while we need to acknowledge, don't we, that Jesus, we're told elsewhere in scripture, was without sin. We kind of acknowledge that, we're aware. But actually, in terms of the life and ministry of Jesus, that all seems to come after this statement from God. Not kind of the other way around. It's not that we have this long list of things that Jesus has done, and then the Father says, "This is my Son, I'm well pleased with him." He does say that at a later point, but he says it even before Jesus sets out on the ministry and life and death and resurrection that we have recorded for us in the scripture. You see, for me, it's about relationship. The Father says, "Whom I love, I am well pleased with him. He is my Son." It is a relationship, isn't it? That through the grace of God, that I believe Enoch has that relationship with God, where God can say, "I am well pleased with him." And I believe that same relationship is open to all who would know and believe in God, in the Lord Jesus, in his name. This brings us on to another thing that we know about Enoch. Enoch, we are told, had faith in God. Faith in God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says to us, doesn't it, that it is impossible to please God without faith in him, without believing in him. And again, this speaks of, it's not believing about God, it's about believing in God. It's a relational thing that is going on. We have become children of God. Again, God's word says that, doesn't it? For those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And this is through God's grace. It's not about our works. It's not about our deeds. It's not about the fact that we have pleased God enough that we can be in relationship with him. It's through being in relationship with him, having faith in him, that we are enabled, the scripture says, doesn't it, to please God. Without that relationship, that can't take place. It's interesting if we, and this is always a good thing to do, isn't it, when we come to a particular scripture, be aware of the verses and chapters around it. And if we do that in this case, if we flick back a chapter to Hebrews chapter 10, we'll see a comparison is taking place. So let's just go to those words. Hebrews 10 verses 35 to 39. And we find these words. "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." That comparison that's going on, isn't it? Between those who kind of shrink back from their relationship with God and those who live by faith in God, in relationship with God. So we know Enoch pleased God. He pleased God because he had faith in God, relationship with God. And thirdly, we know too, don't we, that he earnestly sought God. Hebrews 11, verse 6 again says this, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I hope you're okay because of where the verse sits, but this certainly includes Enoch. Verse 10, as we said, speaks about those who shrink back compared to those that don't shrink back. And those that don't shrink back, we're also told, are those that do and need to persevere in their faith. And that for me is what it means to earnestly seek God. It's not just a quick thing. It's not just a quick kind of glance. It's not just a kind of quick Google search. They earnestly seek God. In Genesis chapter 5, in different translations, this is how that earnestly seeking God relationship that Enoch has is described. We are told that Enoch walked faithfully with God. He walked steadily with God. He was in constant touch with God. Or he simply walked or lived with God. For me, all of this is the Bible's way of saying he lived by faith. So while the information might be limited on Enoch, for me it is rich. And it is rich in the sense of what we learn about Enoch, of what we learn about what it means to live by faith, of what we can then apply to our own lives in our living by faith. Surely one of the things, if we say that we want to be followers of Jesus, we want to take that name Christian, it's got to be part of that, has got to be our desire, hasn't it? To meet with God, but also our desire to please God. Surely that's fundamental to any relationship, isn't it? But particularly our relationship with God. And it's at this point we come back, don't we, to our image of God. And many people draw it to the fact that some people struggle with that, particularly maybe the language of Father God, if their experience of an earthly father, parent, or other significant person in their life has been a negative one, has been an image of hard to please, of stern, of our best is never good enough, that can impact our view of God and our relationship with God. Similarly, I think if we go too far the other way and kind of say, well, God's easily pleased. He's not bothered with what you do or what you don't do. We can go too far that extreme, can't we, in a sense? But actually the truth and the reality we have seen in the life of Enoch, we are told that he pleased God because he lived by faith in God and he sought God. That's what God is looking at. He looks at our hearts, doesn't he? And so do we desire to be in that relationship with God? Do we desire to be in that relationship with God? I think for many of us, often we kind of think, but either our best is not good enough or we mess things up so often, surely God is not and can never really be pleased with us. And we live in a wrong way, a guilt-filled life. You see, because we've got to try in our limited human way to understand how God sees. To understand how much God loves us, that he sent Jesus to die for us. While we were still sinners, even before we showed any interest in him. I remember hearing a story once of somebody who was talking about a friend of theirs. And I guess you might relate to this, but this friend of theirs had embarked on a huge project for God. And this project involved lots of people, it involved building work, it involved a budget running into the millions. And I think this project got off to a reasonably good start, but after a while things began to fall apart and it really in the end just came and fizzled out. And the project wasn't completed, the people kind of that were involved had to be let go. It kind of just seemed to go horribly wrong. And this person was kind of walking along one day and just reflecting upon this and reflecting upon what a disaster this had been. Had he misheard God? Had he just not been good enough? Had he kind of not tried hard enough, prayed enough, whatever it might be? And this person recounted his experience that night. And some of you may have had similar experiences, and while it's not quite an audible voice, as in you can physically hear it, it's audible because you so clearly hear God speaking to you. And he felt God say, well, at least you gave it a go. At least you gave it a go. Well done for trying. And he kind of thinks, surely that can't be God. Surely God's got something else to say. Surely I've let God down. Surely God will be disappointed with me. God looked at this child of his, whom he loved. And actually his default is to be pleased with us. There's that saying, isn't there? God loves us as we are. And yes, he loves us too much to leave us as we are, but the first bit is still true. He loves us. He is delighted with us when we seek after him, where we try and live for him. We give it a go. God is pleased when we desire to know him, to seek him, to put our faith in him, to persevere. Enoch Samuel persevered. He lived 365 years. He persevered. And have you noticed, just within those words that we've picked up today from Hebrews 11, what it also says about these people who live by faith, with whom God is well pleased, whom he loves. He says, with that, and this is again is our image of God, God rewards those who live by faith. And here's just a few ways that he rewards us. And obviously one of the most obvious ways is that he grants us and blesses us with eternal life and with treasures in heaven. One of the key links between Hebrews 11, we find verse 5, and Genesis 5, verse 24, is this powerful description. Very rarely said about anybody else in the pages of Scripture, but it says this of Enoch. But he could not be found because God had taken him away. And the image we have is that actually he didn't suffer, go through physical death. There's a sense that he went off walking one day and just kept on walking with God and was taken to be with God. What a wonderful picture. I don't know about you, but what a wonderful picture of eternal life and that amazing blessing that God gives. And that reward that God gives to those who live by faith. God says as well, doesn't he, that, and for me, that a blessing, a reward for those who live by faith, is that they will receive all that they need. And it's interesting that Jesus connects those two as well. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given, rewarded, added to you as well. And I remember again reflecting on this verse, and somebody once say that it says seek first, not find first, seek first. It's in the act of seeking, it's the act of giving it a go, it's the act of trying to live as people by faith in relationship, which is what righteousness means, with God, that we will receive what we need in this life, as well as in the life to come. And I believe another reward, if you like, is that God enables us, if we seek to live by faith, he enables us to do the good things that we'd want to do, that we believe is part of us living for God. He would enable us to produce fruit, to good fruit. The Bible says, doesn't it? A good tree produces good fruit. That he would enable us to be fruitful wherever we are throughout the week on our front lines. It would enable us to do the good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. The part of the reward for those of people of faith is he gives us the strength to persevere. And of course, part of that amazing and wonderful vision, because we know we will get things wrong. But we know we can come to God by faith. And God's word promises us that when we confess our sins, God's response, God's reward to our faith in him is forgiveness and his ongoing work in our lives. So I want to take us back to the beginning of the service this morning and speak to our hearts about that desire to be back worshipping with one another, to meet with our God. And that does delight God when his people gather together and worship him together. I'm sure that's true when we do it through the means of technology, but it's also true when we can gather together God's people back in our buildings again. But actually, in that, he again looks at our heart, doesn't he? Because that desire to be back together worshipping comes from that deeper desire to be in relationship with God. To worship him, to seek him. And actually, that's something we need to persevere in. And that's something we need to pray for one another for. It doesn't always come easy and automatic, does it? And maybe some of you this morning are kind of out of habit. You've come into the church building, the limited numbers that are, or you've turned on your computer. But if you're honest, when you woke up this morning, you didn't have that great desire to come and worship God. But as we come into that place, God builds that desire through his Holy Spirit in our lives. And I would pray that would be true for each of us. Maybe some of us this morning, that desire is there and it's there every day. Well, praise God for that. Continue to pray for everyone else who doesn't always feel that we persevere in this. So, brothers and sisters, as we wait to be reunited in church, persevere as people of faith. As we know that changes will be coming, persevere. As God will continue to give us opportunities even during this time of ongoing restrictions, persevere. And we're able to do that. And we're able to receive all we need. If we follow the instructions of God's word to seek him. In this book of Hebrews, we also find these words in chapter 4, verse 16. And I want to leave these words with us today. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Take a moment now and reflect on those words. And approach God. Seek God. If you're struggling to do that, just simply pray that prayer. Lord, deep down within me, I desire, I want to seek you. And God will meet you in that place. And be pleased with that smallest prayer of faith. and he can do amazing things. So let's just take that moment now before I pray for us. Lord, I pray now for all my brothers and sisters, wherever they may be this day. I thank you that through the shared activity we have been together, but Lord, we long, look forward to the day when we can be together again, worshipping you, both physically as well as spiritually. And Lord, we know that will delight you too. Lord, I thank you that you are pleased with all who have faith in you, with all who make that decision to seek you. And Lord, I pray that for all of us who are listening this day. I also pray that and add my prayers to all of us gathered to the shared activity today, for those that we know who have shrunk back from that relationship with you. Lord, draw them again through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, through the witness of your people, to desire that relationship with you for the first time, or to return to that relationship again. Lord, we do ask all these things in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.